Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Well, back when I lived in Kansas, my brother-in-law called me up one day because he happened to be in town on a business trip and asked me, he's like, "Hey, John, you want to go to a basketball game?" Now, what he's talking about was going to a college basketball game, and keep in mind here about my brother-in-law and myself, well, he went to the other university in Kansas, okay? And so I went to Kansas State, and so he went to the University of Kansas, and well, there's a great rivalry between the two. Now, when it came time for football, my team always beat his team. Well, it was guaranteed. But when it came to basketball season, though, well, it was the opposite. His team almost always beat mine. And so he's asking me to go to the game with him. And so I was like, "All right, well, who is Kansas playing?" And he said, "Oklahoma State." Now I understand why he had tickets, okay? Because if the teams were playing were my school and his school, well, then that place would have been packed. There would have been no seats, and we wouldn't have gotten into the game at all. But because it was Oklahoma State, plenty of seats to be had there. And so, well, he came by the house and picked me up. So we're driving over there, and as we're driving over to the other town there, to the University of Kansas, well, I couldn't help but feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, when you go to your rival school, it's kind of like going into the enemy camp, you know, you just don't feel good about it, and you know, you hope your friends who go to that school, you know, don't see you, because then they're going to be thinking, "Oh, you're supporting us now, are you?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't want that to happen, you know." Now, if I'd been wearing my own school colors, well, that'd been one thing, but I wasn't, and so you kind of sneak in hoping nobody sees you, you know, and if somebody does, you're just there because, well, you hope for a good game, right? It's kind of like that diabetic guy who's standing in line for an ice cream cone, hoping nobody sees him, because if they do, you know, he's afraid they're going to run over and tell his wife, he's like, "Hey!" Okay? Well, that's kind of the situation that we have in our gospel reading here for today. All right? Here we have Nicodemus. Nicodemus is trying to figure out who Jesus is. He wants to know more. Now, he likes what he sees Jesus doing, but Nicodemus, if you will, he's from the other school, the school of the Pharisees. They don't get along with Jesus. And here he is, one of the Pharisees, and, he's coming in to talk to Jesus. And when does he come in to see him? He comes at night. So, let's call this guy Nick at Night, all right? Nick at Night, he comes in, and what would you call his first statement there to Jesus, his question? What would you call it, a compliment? Maybe. An accusation? Well, from him, probably not, but from the other school that he goes to, well, it might be an accusation of sorts, but let's just call it an opening, all right? The opening of a conversation. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, Jesus answered him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, Jesus is like, "Duh, no, it's not going to be that way. Come on, man." All right? He's getting after him here. What Jesus is talking about here is being born of water and the Spirit. Now, being born of water, okay, we're talking about baptism. That's where we are reborn, all right? That's where we need to be born again. Why? Because, quite frankly, we are born with sin, all right? That's our natural inclination, is to be against God. And so when we are born again, well, then, you know, we're talking about matters of faith here. You see, sin ruins all of that stuff. Sin puts us in a position where we're not going to be understanding what Jesus says. Sin's going to be putting us in a position where we don't want to be caught in church. Okay? We don't want to be there. Sin is what causes that. Sin puts us in a position where we as a people of faith might deny our faith. Somebody might say to you, "Oh, you're one of those," meaning being a Christian. But you see, baptism washes away sin. And what happens next? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, all right, the person who's baptized, instilling faith, ensuring the promises of God will be kept. All right? Holy Spirit's kind of like a deposit, guaranteeing that all these things are going to come true. Forgiveness of sins, the hope of everlasting life. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand why Jesus came. You see, the person without faith, without the Holy Spirit, cannot comprehend the miraculous things that Jesus had been doing. Nick at night, he didn't get it. So Jesus starts out at a place where, quite frankly, the people from the other school, the Pharisees, would understand. He talks about what? Moses. Moses lifting up the pole with a bronze serpent on it. Now, what was the story behind all that? Well, we got to go back and review that. Back in the day, all right, Moses is leading the people that are out there in the wilderness for those 40 years, right? The people were always complaining. Well, one time they were complaining so much, God had enough of it, and he's like, "All right, fine. I'm going to send poisonous snakes into the camp. They're going to start biting people." Sure enough, that's what happened. These poisonous snakes came amongst the people, biting the people. People started dying. Then they realized, we've sinned against God. You know, we got a problem here. And they go running to Moses, like, "Hey, Moses, you got to pray to God to stop this. We get it. We're sorry." So Moses prays to God. And God says, "All right, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to create a bronze snake, put it on a pole, put it at the top of a pole. And so when you lift that pole up, and if somebody's bitten by one of those poisonous snakes, and they look at that pole, then they're going to be healed." Now, we all know that a bronze snake on a pole isn't going to do anything for anybody. The people then did too. But the difference was, is that if you got bit and you looked at that bronze snake on that pole, you wouldn't die. You see, looking at that bronze snake on that pole was an act of faith. They believed and trusted in God. Hence, the people didn't die. So even though the snakes were still there, still biting people, if you looked at the pole, you would be okay. So he talks about how Moses lifted up that bronze snake on the pole. So must the Son of Man be lifted up also. All right. Well, what was that going to mean? Well, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. See, Jesus said that about that. Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, Jesus is pointing out something that, well, it hasn't happened yet. If you talk about somebody back in Jesus' day, if they must be lifted up, well, they automatically knew that meant that you're going to die on a cross. Jesus is saying that. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? Well, that too was for sin. Okay? Nick at night sin. Everybody's sin. Yours and mine. You see, Jesus was taking that sin to the cross and dying on that cross for you and me. So what does it mean then to look at that cross? Well, it's an act of faith. You see, for you and I, when we look at the cross, just like the one we have up here on the altar, we see Jesus hanging on that cross. We understand that he died for our sins, but also too that he rose from the grave alive, giving us hope of everlasting life. We understand that by virtue of the faith that we have. Faith given to us in our baptism, where the Holy Spirit comes upon us, saying that, yes, your sins are forgiven. And one day, you'll be with God in heaven forever. That's all wrapped up in there. That's all what we see when we see the cross. We see our Savior there. No, because of that faith that we have, it causes us then to truly understand the following, what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, in other words here, Jesus came to save and not destroy. You believe, you have eternal life, you are saved. Now, my brother-in-law and I, while at the game, we were sitting up in the nosebleed section, all right, you know, way up there. And while I'm watching the game, well, if there was a good play, I'm giving a good compliment, regardless of the team. And if there was a poor play, well, then I was saying that it was not so complimentary. Let me put it that way. Now, we've got these two guys that are sitting behind us. They're rooting for the other team, Oklahoma State. And they hear me making these comments. Good comments about both teams, bad comments about when they're playing poorly. They couldn't take it any longer. They leaned forward, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, we've got a question to ask you. Did you go to Oklahoma State?" Oh, I got a big grin on my face then. I smiled and I said, "No, I went to a far better school than either team that's playing here today. I went to Kansas State." Now, my brother-in-law is over there shaking his head, and these two guys are like, "What?" Okay. You know, I was proud and bold about my own school. You see, these kinds of passages that we have here during Lent are for the same reason, to encourage us when we realize that, well, yeah, we're sinners and we should have been on that cross too. But we know that Jesus came to save and not destroy. We who believe have been saved. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the hope of everlasting life. And that's something then that encourages us to want to share that with others. That's why it's there today. It's for you and I. In the midst of all that's happening to us, in the midst of all the reasons for having this antibacterial stuff in here in church, and doing this all the time now, why? It's to encourage us. God's still in charge. He saved us for everlasting life. That's an important thing to know, both now, tomorrow, forever. Our God loves us so, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Share that anytime, any place. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.